Hi, welcome back. Organizing, shuffling, organizing. Too much information out there. And unfortunately, I want to repeat this, and I'm not talking to our audience out there, but Americans have never demonstrated more miserable thought processes, if thought is even involved anymore. I mean, there are a lot of people who are really acting stupidly, dumb, confused, and yet underneath and underlying a lot of that is this conviction that they have the answer. I've got it figured out. You're the one who's got to catch up. It's kind of sickening to watch, because we used to be a society that had people that actually would entertain the views of others and think about them, but not anymore. As soon as they dial in the answer, they're out of the game. We know that. They're gone. And they think that they can make other people follow their lead. Out the door and into the trash can. The dumpster of desolation and doom. That's where they're headed. They think they've got the answer. And this effort to claim all of a sudden that medical science is wrong after over 100 years of working with, creating, analyzing viral diseases, disorders, and all manner of things. Now there is no such thing as virus anymore. There are no viruses. It's gone. This is an effort to upset standard traditional thinking in this society about science, health, welfare, politics, economics. It's all being treated the same way. They're trying to upset and stir up the chaos wherever and whenever they can. And they're being very successful at it, unfortunately. Hello, Erica.
Hello, Jeff.
Well, how you been?
Oh, you know, okay.
Yeah, I do. I know. Look, it's not fun to have to deal with the information that we do, but we're glad to do it because no one else will do it. And are we right all the time? No. Are we right most of the time? Yes. And we are being listened to by a lot of people who have a bit of notoriety to cachet online, who are working for the other side. And they don't like what we say, because we're trying to tell the truth as much as we can. It's not easy. But it isn't a lot of fun sometimes. It is very professionally encouraging to get email from people that appreciate what we're doing and what we have done and what we will continue to do. And when you look at the idiots out there who have sold out or don't have the brain power to even talk much and yet have a following, you kind of just scratch your head. So I personally don't look at many of them. Good luck. It's not a pretty picture out there.
I agree. You know, there's a lot of noise.
Noise over substance. That's what it is. And they use all kinds of tricks. They'll come after someone with an opposing view that is correct, and they'll say, well, prove it. Prove it to me. It's reverse psychology. It's kind of simple but clever. Prove it. Prove your position. And even if the people offer to prove it, a lot of times they're disallowed. It doesn't happen. The idea is chaos. Just remember that. Chaos, confusion, and anger. And you're getting a lot of that. When we read the stories that we do, that Erica digs up, she monitors these social media groups where you can really find out what's happening. Yes, there are shills there. Yes, there are AI bots working, some of them. But there are an awful lot of very serious people who have been grievously injured, wounded, or who have lost loved ones to the ongoing genocide that is continually gathering momentum, in my view. It's the next year especially, you're going to see this tsunami really build up of people dying. Lots of them. Sad to say.
Yeah, it's coming. The stage is certainly set for that.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this was news to me. Merrill Nass brought this forward, that apparently the new bivalent booster mm-hmm. has replaced whatever they were calling a booster up until now.
Whatever
was left over. Yeah,
it's
been recalled. It has been recalled and is now replaced with this bivalent booster. So that is the only booster that is currently available to people. And bivalent, we mean it codes for the spike protein of the original Wuhan strain of the coronavirus and now this Omicron variant. So you're getting two different types of spike protein. We know what
the
Wuhan
extra cost.
Strain, right? We know what the Wuhan strain does, causes blood clotting, causes amyloidosis, might even be a prion-generating seed. Time will tell. I mean, I guess there's some evidence for that already, if you consider the people who have died of rapid-onset CJD shortly after getting the shot. We don't know what the Omicron is going to do once people begin generating it internally. But anyway, so that's the booster. Moderna has one.
If you would please repeat that. All of you out there who are listening, and some of you have gotten boosters, you're part of the mechanism. Your booster has now been changed. It's not what it was. Without your knowledge, without your consent, nothing. They simply pulled the normal booster shots, which were bad enough, and Pfizer announced a couple months ago they were going to double the strength of theirs, and it has now been replaced. And you didn't see that in the headlines. You didn't see that anywhere.
No, but that's as of, I believe it's last Tuesday, this new bivalent booster is being distributed across the country, across the world, I guess. The UK actually approved it before we did.
And explain again what that means, what you're getting. You're going for a booster. You're not getting what you used to get. You're getting it's kind of a twofer. And I wonder if they'll even tell people that you're getting the new bivalent. And never mind, that question is already answered. No.
Well, they'll think it's, you know, even better.
Yeah,
I have double protection.
Yeah.
You know, and it's rather absurd because this Omicron variant has now been in circulation for close to a year. Most people have invariably been exposed to it and developed some sort of immunity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to vaccinate people for it or turn them into generators for it? The whole thing's absurd.
Just keep in mind you're getting two kinds of spike proteins in your booster now, not just the old Wuhan spike. You're getting the new one, and we have no idea at all of what that's going to do or what's been built into it. And we do know that what was built into the Wuhan strain is beyond demonic and diabolically evil. We know that. It has dozens of ways of killing. It's anti-life is what it is. This is truly an astounding genocide of a planet, or much of it.
Yeah, it is. Now, from what I've heard, this bivalent booster is going to be twice as strong. I don't know what that means. I don't know.
Well, that's
twice
what
as many
Pfizer said
proteins
some weeks ago.
Produced.
They were going to double the strength of their booster. This may be
That was before they came out with this bivalent thing.
That's
true. Just pertained to whatever it was they were calling
one.
A booster.
That's right.
But this thing, too, I mean, people are going to be shedding this. You can count on it. I just be on guard. This shedding thing is probably going to get a whole lot worse in the near term.
See, people, honestly, most of them, and understandable, it's not a mystery, would rather not hear about shedding. Shedding is a weaponized vector now of killing and spreading this horrible panoply of fatal diseases, disasters, and disorders that can show up in the body. And I say diseases because once your immune system is reduced to somebody with AIDS, the door is open. Any kind of disease can walk right in. But on its own, amyloidosis, prions in the brain, we could go on and on. You've got to understand, those of you who are not injected are in danger. And we don't know that this new booster might not somehow enhance the entire works of how these weaponized shedding mechanisms actually operate. I don't know. We don't know yet. But we're going to watch. We're going to wait and see. We're watching. And they're not going to tell anybody. They're just going to, here's your booster. I'm telling you, they will not tell most people because they're not being told. They'll say, oh, it's enhanced or something. Just give it to them.
This will be sold as a good thing. You know, this is covering the latest strain as well as the original one.
If there's any marketing, they will do that. You're right. I bet you in many cases, though.
If they don't believe that these things are what they are, they'll be happy and grateful to have a booster.
How many people have said...
I can think of five people off the top of my head that will do this without asking any questions at this point.
And how many people have we read about who suffered terrible injury and said, oh, if I'd only gotten my booster in time?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
There are still those people, yes.
So please understand that when they announced originally, their goal was either 70 or 80% fully vaxxed on the planet. And I can't remember what it was. It may have been both. But let's say 80% is their goal. The immediate question is, well, what about the other 20%? Are they just going to give up on them? No. They built in to this death shot shedding as a viable vector to spread the worst components. Now, is it the same as being injected? We don't know, but there might be an argument to be made for that very thing. That if you're shed upon significantly and routinely and regularly, and your immune system is brought down, and depending on how successful the transmission from the people around you who are vaxxed to you is, you may in fact be at least partially vaxxed.
There's certainly anecdotal evidence to suggest that.
That's where I'm at with it.
You know, there are many people that have been, well, as you said, grievously injured from just being shed on. I mean, we had one of them on the program recently.
Haven't heard from her either. Hope she's doing all right.
You know, women who had been pregnant that were working in offices that had vaxxed people.
Yes.
I mean, they've lost their pregnancies. They had stillborns.
Yes.
They had miscarriages.
Yep.
Uncontrollable uterine bleeding. And now we're getting reports, some of these women that have put up with this nonstop bleeding for a year are being diagnosed with cancer, endometrial cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer.
And necrotic conditions are showing up in reproductive areas of at least women that we've seen, and we suspect both sexes. Now, necrosis is the dying of your flesh, and these cases are just horrific. All right, your liver dies, your lungs die. Necrosis can occur anywhere, but now we're seeing it externally and, I guess, internally in reproductive areas. And I'm watching to see if there's going to be any more of this. This is absolutely horrific.
It's indescribable.
I won't post I got a news story with photos.
It's very, very
graphic. I won't post it.
It's really...
No.
It just,
if you want to see it, go look. You'll find it. It's out there. But these are reproductive area necroses, and they're just despicable, horrible. We've seen the pictures of people with necrotic feet, necrotic toes that have to be taken off, their fingers, whatever. They lose legs, arms. There's no mercy on the human race with this stuff. There are too many ways for these injections to kill. It's hard to keep count.
It is. It poisons the body the minute it goes in. You know, you start with the blood. The blood goes everywhere,
What's the blood take? Less than 60 seconds to circulate throughout the body. Remember Tiffany Dover? Shot up and then on the floor within a minute or two. So, and there have been many others. We just don't hear about them. There's no national honest clearinghouse for this. Forget VAERS. Forget it. I never thought I'd say anything constructive about social media, but in this case, it's our only real window to the reality of the deaths and suffering of uncountable people out there. You've heard us read. We're going to read some more tonight. These are in most cases real and unembellished stories of people reaching out for help who have been horrifically wounded, injured by these shots, and they've lost so many people around them. But shedding must be taken seriously. If nothing else works in your mind, understand when they announced that their goal was only to inoculate 80%. And what are you thinking? They're going to just sacrifice the other 20%? What was going on there? No, they had a mechanism by way of capturing and acquiring that 20%. It's called shedding. Pull them right into the vaxxed pool without having to stick a needle in them.
They did know that. The Pfizer trial literature indicated
it's in
that
the
they
literature.
Knew that. Yes, it's in the literature.
They knew
it's in the
shedding
Moderna
was real.
Patent.
Sure they did. Yes.
What exactly is being shed? That's the question. But it's something, toxic enough to cause blood clots in bystanders.
It's toxic enough to kill you, okay?
It's been killing dogs and cats. In some cases, people have died from shedding, and now people are being diagnosed with cancers.
Well, if you get cancer, what are your long-term chances? And then what are they going to give you as a treatment? Cut, slash, and burn. Same old stuff. And poison.
Right.
So...
I just want to mention too, they are working on. I don't know if it's going to be ready this year or not, but a mRNA vaccine for influenza. Both Moderna and Pfizer have a trial going on right now. 25,000 adults. Pfizer has a phase 3 study enrolling 25,000 adults in the U.S. ages 18 and up. And then Moderna, I think back in June, enrolled 6,000 adults. The question is, where are those people right now? Because, they are shedding whatever's in those shots.
Cut the story down to an easy, assimilatable format.
Okay, so... They're heading in the direction where they want all vaccines to be based on this transfection, gene transfection technology.
mRNA.
And so when we talk about the influenza virus, we're going to code for the proteins, the antigens in the flu virus.
So
instead of you making a spike protein, which would is supposed to protect you, supposedly, from the coronavirus or SARS, the influenza mRNA will have you making proteins that are unique to the influenza virus that should theoretically protect you if you are exposed to the flu, because your body will recognize those antigens and automatically make antibodies against them. So it's the same theory. They're just coding for different proteins that are unique to the influenza viruses.
Well, the big question is what else are they putting in this new spike protein?
Well, there's that. I mean, we have to, as with these transfection technologies, you have to turn down the immune system somewhat, so that it will accept this foreign genetic material and translate it and not destroy the cells in the process. So you've got to get the protein produced first so the body can react to it. But the thing is, we don't know what these proteins do all on their own when they're produced within the body and they begin circulating. Like the spike protein, it's biologically active. It can interfere with all kinds of native proteins and therefore all kinds of metabolic processes.
It's too many to list. It's difficult to track them all, and that's not a joke. This thing has got too many tricks up its sleeve.
And the big problem with this right now, I mean, this is never going to work. It's a bad idea. But it doesn't stay at the site of the injection. That's what they sold us on at the beginning. Mm. That you put it in the arm, the white blood cells will come around and they'll see it and begin destroying it right there. Well, no. Because it's nano, it goes into the blood, lymph, all of the interstitial spaces. It just goes everywhere, like a dirty bomb. And so you end up having cells, distant cells, off-target cells, being transfected with this material, mm-hmm. like, say, your liver. That's a big one. The adrenal glands, the ovaries, the pancreas, the brain, the heart. When they become transfected with this mRNA, they begin to produce the spike protein, or if it's the flu vaccine, they'll be producing probably hemagglutinin, which is the spike on a flu virus. And that those organs will be the target of attack by the immune system, because the immune system sees that those cells are producing something foreign, and they'll kill it. They will kill those tissues, organs and tissues that are producing that protein. So by the time somebody's had 4, 5, 6 of these things,
I what hope can there be for most of them or any of them? I don't know. All right, we've got a couple videos. I've got them queued up here. I've got Meryl Nass first at 30:18. You want to start with that one and then go to Hooker? Or you want to do Hooker first?
I think Meryl Nass was just a short clip by herself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
Okay, here's Meryl Nass. This was a roundtable group about a week ago or so. Let's see what we got here.
I mean, I don't want to sound hysterical or anything, but I need to ask you all this question. Do we know anything about the ingredients in these new shots, number one? Because we're already, whatever, I don't care what the science says, we the people, feel sick around vaccinated people with these COVID shots. Okay, it's a fact, we do. And I've seen babies very, very sick, having seizures and all kinds of things, unvaxxed babies, being around vaccinated, these recently, get over the word vaccinated people, I can hear you freaking out about it, you know what we mean. So what would be your advice if you all had, let's say, a one-year-old? Would you be very careful about that one-year-old out in from Tuesday onwards? Are we in trouble? What is your opinion on this? This is only your opinion. We understand.
I would say, you know, you have to be vigilant all across the board. You have to be vigilant in terms of vaccine shedding. You know, I'm a part of a project that is called the My Cycle Story Project. We're seeing significant menstrual issues and other types of female issues in women who have been in close proximity of individuals vaccinated. We haven't looked at infants specifically. The other thing I'm concerned about is...
Okay, that's Dr. Brian Hooker. He's a PhD. Meryl Nass was just prior to that, but you get the idea. These people understand the concept of shedding all too well. They know what's happening. So these are good people to listen to. Okay, I can go on. Meryl wasn't in that time frame.
Yeah, Meryl was a separate video.
I have that here.
We were going to play it on Monday, but we never did.
Okay, let me pull that one up. And we'll go back to Dr. Hooker. I want you to really pay attention to Dr. Hooker when I get them straightened out here, these three videos. All right, there's one.
in the United States.
All right, here. This is Meryl Nass. This is the one that I was supposed to play a moment ago, but here we go with it right now. It's 2 minutes long.
In the United States, in order to license a vaccine or a drug, you have to prove that it works and that it's safe in humans. For these vaccines, there has been no testing in humans whatsoever. The design of these vaccines was only developed 2 months ago, and FDA told the manufacturers what it wanted. And 1 month ago, the federal government signed contracts for 105 million doses from Pfizer and 66 million from Moderna for a total of about 171 million doses for the United States. And these are all for people aged 12 and up, for Pfizer, aged 18 and up for Moderna. Believe it or not, they were only tested in mice. That's the only way you could get vaccine into arms in a 2 month time frame. Now, basically, this would be completely illegal, but the way the FDA and CDC have gotten around that is by only issuing emergency use authorizations for these new vaccines. When you do that, there is no requirement that FDA inspect the factory. There is no zero quality requirement. They don't have to meet any standards. And there is absolutely no liability for the manufacturer or for the FDA or anybody else involved in the program. There's no liability for the doctors who administer it, for the buildings that you're in when you get it, et cetera. So basically, it's a sort of a Russian roulette. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know whether one lot will be the same as another. And because the government is so anxious to get these doses into you, they've stopped counting doses. So what they're saying is, even if you got 3, 4, 5 prior doses of COVID shots, that's okay. As long as 2 months has elapsed since your last dose, you can get one of these new boosters.
And the new boosters are out now. They pulled the originals. The standard boosters are gone, and they have been now supplanted with the new, well, they're all decked out and who knows what. Okay, that's Dr. Meryl Nass. Now, we're going to go back to Brian Hooker, and I might as well replay that one little section with him on this roundtable, then we'll go to the longer piece. He is on it. He gets shedding.
I would say, you know, you have to be vigilant all across the boards. You have to be vigilant in terms of vaccine shedding. You know, I'm a part of a project that is called the My Cycle Story Project. We're seeing significant menstrual issues and other types of female issues in women who have been in close proximity of individuals vaccinated. We haven't looked at infants specifically. The other thing I'm concerned about is standard of care.
Okay, that's where we're going to stop, and I'm going to move it forward. All right, hold on. 45. 21. Okay. Close enough. Here we go. Actually, I better not. I don't want to miss a word. Hold on. Let me get this back a little further. Okay. Dr. Brian Hooker.
So encouraging what happened and what you can do when you get together. The other thing that I really want to talk about again is the whole issue with shedding. Because we are being affected by this vaccine, whether we're vaccinated or not. And we're seeing individuals that are in close proximity, close work proximity. I work with vaccinated individuals every day at the university where I teach. So I don't really know the long-term effects. And what I've been working on from a scientific standpoint is to put the biological mechanisms together to show how this vaccine could and would shed. They have subcellular pictures of what are called exosomes, which are subcellular particles, and the exosomes actually have the spike protein in them. And those exosomes are used, you know, the body uses those and viruses use those in virus transmission from person to person, not just virus transmission in the body, but exosomes can be passed along in respiratory particles. And so there is a biological mechanism for this spike protein itself, if not the messenger RNA. We haven't really looked for the messenger RNA in exosomes yet, but we know that at least the spike protein, there is a biological mechanism where that can shed. And that is the toxic part of SARS-CoV-2. And so, you know, I want to get the word out. I want to get more people talking about shedding because it is affecting bystanders. It could literally affect everybody in the United States, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Okay, that's a critical statement. Whether you're vaccinated or otherwise, you can be hit by shedding and damaged or worse. And that's not a joke. Very interesting. I hope all of you remember the program we did, several, on exosomes. And he's picked up the same line of thinking that is a critical thing to keep in mind. These are little items discharged from your body all the time. He said that they've apparently established or believe they've established that spike proteins are in exosomes. He said, not yet do we know if mRNAs are in these exosomes. But I would submit that if they are in the exosomes and you are shed upon and you accept them, your body somehow accepts that, you've been vaccinated because that's what's in the vaccines. The bioweapons contain mRNAs that are going to code your cells to make spike protein. So if that's being shed through exosomes as well, that is in fact a form of vaccination or contamination or a death sentence, whatever. Not trying to scare you, but this is real stuff. So let's stay with us. We're going to watch this and see if they can find mRNAs in exosomes. My money is they will. Not to the extent in terms of numbers as the spike, but there will be some in exosomes and exhalations and direct skin contact, body fluids, and I'm talking about perspiration, oils in your skin, you name it. So if spike is there, I don't see why some, I don't think the number would be nearly as large, but some mRNAs would be there as well. And just for fun, if you would, Erica, just explain real briefly what the mRNA does once it gets into the body.
Well, that's the code to begin to produce the spike protein. The mRNA is the nucleic acid, it's RNA, and that is the code that instructs your body to build a particular protein. So once it gets into a cell, if it can be read, then the protein gets produced and you've essentially been vaxxed. You know, we have the section on the from the Moderna patent that shows that, yes, the mRNA can be shed in the form of exosomes, and also pieces of the mRNA can be shed in exosomes along with the protein of interest. Personally, I think it's a stretch that the entire mRNA in a vaxxed person could make it into an unvaxxed person just casually, maybe through intimate contact. But, I mean, they have a hard enough time getting that mRNA into a cell intact without it being destroyed first. That's a hurdle, but they've done it. But to have that same RNA leave that vaccinated person's body and then go to another,
that's not good. Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I'm suggesting. We need to watch and see if they can formally identify mRNAs in body fluids, in exosomes of any kind. This would not be good at all.
Yeah,
that means your body becomes
a
factory of spike proteins, okay? You're not just getting spike proteins dumped on you. You're getting the factory installed in you. Not good.
Or bits of it. You know,
pieces.
Might get just a small section that codes for this spike protein. That's possible, too. But we don't have any answers. yet, and we may not have answers for a long time. But we don't know what the long-term effects are. We don't know if these effects are transient. Is the immune suppression that people are experiencing transient? Or is your immune system now damaged permanently?
Exactly. All right,
okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say we can start reading some of our
personal
accounts of the horrors that are out there. Here's the died suddenly, died unexpectedly. My uncle had only one injection, and he woke up blind the next day. He had blind and blurry vision for 2 to 3 days, but then it came back and he was fine. However, 12 days after that, he was found dead in bed by my aunt. See, these are the kinds of things that you'll never hear on the mainstream media platform. They don't want you to know. And it's very easy for them to control this information. It's just embargo it. It's done. All right. We've got a whole lot of things here. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we do this heart attack?
Okay.
All right.
Heart attack. We got four of them. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm on number three here.
Okay.
My husband passed out while exercising 4 months after his second jab. Went to the cardio doctor immediately, and they found nothing wrong. Wore a Holter monitor for 30 days. Still nothing. Said he didn't feel right not being monitored. They inserted a loop monitor for 24/7 monitoring. 2 weeks later, he passed out again while exercising and couldn't be brought back. Dead at 56 years old. Diagnosed death was tachycardia. I requested the loop monitor readings. I needed to know. The readings were regular and typical exercising heart rhythms up until the minute he died. Flatlined. Nothing. I did CPR till the medics arrived. He was just gone. I believe he died from an aneurysm. His eyes became cloudy within minutes of collapse. I regret not having an autopsy done. I miss my love every single day. I had begged him not to take the jabs. God had warned me in my dreams that he would die. I told him this. He thought I was crazy. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was protecting the elderly around him at work and his father, who had had a heart transplant 6 months after my husband's death. His father also died. He was triple jabbed and had cancers recurring on his head, neck, and face, constantly having them removed just to have another one pop up. He ended up dying of leukemia. My entire in-law family is jabbed, and they see no correlation between the jabs and their brothers and father's deaths. I'm beside myself. I miss my husband terribly. I know I did everything within my power to save him, yet he is gone. And I am silently angry, and I'm afraid I always will be. Gone too soon.
See, that's another example of this instant cessation of life. It's like somebody throws a circuit breaker, and the person is dead. And we've talked about the possibility of some kind of a bioelectrical catastrophe in the autonomic nervous system. I don't know. Maybe he had built up amyloid plaques and the clots got to be so big that they just shut down his a blood or an artery and he was gone. These people who deny
that.
The denial is the part that really bothers me. He was absolutely adamant supporting that whole regimen of shots. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the deception here, is that there's a lot of people walking around right now that look normal. I mean, they're able to exercise and go about their business every day, and yet they're on the brink of death, literally, sudden death.
Well, high school kid finished a marathon, had a heart attack. Finished the race, he was in good shape, working out every day, training, ran the race, heart attack, boom. Stories every day that come by the desk here. I can't put them all up.
Well, you knew when they started to float this term, sudden adult death syndrome, they knew what was coming.
Oh, it was all in the playbook. Sure. Okay, here's another one. That was bad enough. I begged my mom not to get it. She was listening to me, or so I thought, but her quack kept calling her to come on in and get the safe and effective shit. Well, she gave in, unbeknownst to me. She lied to me about it. 3 weeks after the shot, she had her first heart attack at home, alone, and told me she thought we were going to find her dead in her chair. She didn't know it was a heart attack. Well, 5 weeks after the jab, we were on our way home from a short vacation and staying over one more night away before heading home. We checked into our hotel, and she was having trouble catching her breath. She told me that this is how she felt 2 weeks earlier when she thought she was going to die from a heart attack. So I called 911, and within 5 minutes, my mom had passed out, and I was performing CPR. I didn't know she died when she lost consciousness. It was that quick. I did everything I could, but I couldn't bring her back. Mom was my best friend. I'm completely shattered and lost without her. Losing her this way has really messed with my head. I don't wish this on anyone. She was only 69. So, again, these stories are endless, but they're very instructive. The variety and diversity of the mechanisms by which these shots, injections, or shedding can kill is astonishing. We can hardly keep track of it and try to present it to you in a way that you'll retain some of it. But there are literally, I would say, at least a couple of dozen primary anti-life functions that these shots have, and they will stop life. They end life. They kill. That's what they were designed to do. And they are a resounding success in that regard. All right, go ahead.
All right, another heart attack. Hi, guys. I have just joined this group. I would like to share one of my experiences over the last 18 months and many I have encountered. My dad had a massive heart attack 4 days after receiving his Boost Me Up. Fortunately, he survived, having needed 4 stents and 2 balloons to widen the main artery going to his heart, which was severely blocked. Hard to watch this unveil and happen, having pleaded with him not to take any form from this very short, very first shot. Anyway, thanks to groups like this and a few sane or maybe insane friends, we get through the hardship.
There's another one. A friend of mine's nephew died a few weeks ago. He had a heart attack at the age of 14, the youngest I've ever heard of, at least yet. We know babies are having heart attacks, newborns, you name it.
Yeah.
It's all there. All right, one more. I'm a 55-year-old. I work in the healthcare system. I had a previous heart blockage, which they cannot stent. I was forced to get the jab to keep my job. After the second jab in November, my heart goes through periods where it feels like someone has grabbed a hold of my heart and is squeezing so hard it drops me to my knees. I've had a second angiogram, and they said they can't figure it out. Along with that, more steady migraines and a very heavy chest. I will not be getting any more. Well, the horses have left the corral. Good luck.
Yeah.
All right, there's one more heart failure, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead.
November 2021. A close friend arrives on my doorstep in tears. He's 49 years old and a heart attack survivor. He worked for Melbourne Council as a landscaper and laborer. due to mandates, it was magic juice or no job. He chose the juice. Within hours, his heart pain returned, along with chronic tiredness and chronic sore muscles. He was due for his second shot and highly stressed when he visited me. Christmas 2021. I hear the news my friend has passed. His heart failed in hospital, getting treated for rapid-onset cancer of the lungs and liver.
Oh.
He never had cancer before. Suddenly, it was so advanced, he was told to arrange his affairs. Of course, correlation is not equal to causation, but even blind Freddy can see what's going on.
So in November 2021, he gets the shot. By Christmas of 2021, he's got two types of cancer, lungs and liver, both obviously fatal, and he dies in the hospital, heart failed. I hope all of you listening get it. It's so damned obvious. There can be no arguments about this anymore. No debate, nothing. These are bioweapons. They are designed to do what they're doing, to kill.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Where are we? Let's see. Your turn.
Funeral home?
Sure.
All right. Local upstate New York funeral home. Gentleman is buying a new personal home from the local realtor, and he's paying all cash, $600K. Finds out he's a funeral home owner. Realtor is bold, asks some questions. Have you seen an increase in funerals this year? He says, my business is up 40% this year. Are you seeing a lot of young children and infant deaths? Unfortunately, yes. Why do you think this is? He said, they are exterminating people with the vax, and it's getting worse. That's as close as we've been able to get directly hearing from a funeral home owner, except for John O'Looney in the UK. We'd like to talk to, but most people are frightened to death. If they're found out or figured out, their jobs are over.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they own their own business, and even then, there are regulations and things that could be brought down on their heads and make their entire livelihood in severe jeopardy real quick. Okay, next up, died in sleep, cancer, breast cancer. Oh, we got a lot of
okay. How about melanoma?
Go to
my high school friend died unknown causes after getting the carrot. My mother ate carrots and 6 months later had melanoma. Another good friend had an MRI due to issues with a weight loss surgery. It was clear. She then ate carrots. Approximately six months later, she is battling breast and liver cancer. I'm a health coach with a focus on autoimmune disease. I have had many people come to me with major issues. Another friend ate carrots, got ill, could not breathe, and died. The list keeps going on. My son ate carrots and is now sick. I wish this was actually a choice to eat carrots. My husband and I were ready to lose everything to not eat carrots to protect ourselves and our two young daughters. My house is replaceable. Cars are replaceable. My life and those I love are not replaceable. Stuff will never win over protecting my family. I'm so sorry to all the lives lost to eating those damn carrots.
Just astounding, all the different variations. But the onset again of cancers, it's another thing. We don't have time to cover all these things. We'll get
to
one and then another. There's so many different areas. But cancer is a fright. And it can happen very, very quickly. No mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if this isn't the place, but my wife and I got the shot in March of 21. In April of 22, she was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer that has metastasized to her brain. They said they felt the first tumor was only 9 to 12 months old. I'm okay so far as I know, but we are fighting for her life, and she is getting weaker all the time. lung cancer that has metastasized to her brain. I am so sorry for those of you who have already lost loved ones to the shot. I ask that you send good thoughts and prayers to my wife if you can. Thank you, Lou. How many are already gone that we'll never hear about?
This is staggering.
And you think about VAERS and that old axiom, not old, but a year or two old, about multiplying the VAERS numbers by 99 and you might be close. That's not so far-fetched as you might think.
No, it's not.
People are dying like the proverbial fly. They're dying all over the place, and nobody knows anything about it unless they happen to read something like that. The obituaries are thinning, shall we say, in the media. And I didn't know this, but it costs money to have an obituary posted in the newspaper. People just aren't doing it. And they can never mention anything about their shots. So there you go. Okay, that's our program for you again. We are going to keep pounding on this to try to protect as many as possible. And if we can save just one life, we have done our job. So thank you again, Erica. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Have a good night, everyone.
We'll be right back with Hour 3 after this.